What if you could charge an electric car in less time than it takes to drink a cup of coffee? Toyota is now targeting an 80% charge in under 10 minutes. This isn't a distant dream, it's a concrete target for 2027. But as timelines accelerate, the real question is shifting from the lab to the factory floor. Who can actually build these new batteries at scale? And what does this mean for Western industrial strategy? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on technology and its impact on U.S. and European business. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, the theoretical promise of solid-state batteries crashed directly into the hard realities of manufacturing, supply chain formation, and geopolitical competition. We're seeing a flurry of announcements from automakers like Toyota and BYD setting firm launch dates, while governments in the U.S. and China are making major strategic moves. It feels like the race just entered a new, more serious phase.
That's right, Susie. The focus has pivoted from pure R&D to industrialization. We're tracking three key developments this week. First, the convergence of timelines around 2027 for initial commercialization. Second, a focus on solving the manufacturing bottleneck. And third, the emergence of a brand new B2B supply chain for the core materials.
Let's start with those timelines. Toyota made headlines targeting a 2027-2028 launch. Troy, what are the specifics here?
Toyota is planning to introduce sulfide-based all-solid-state batteries in its premium Lexus models. They're targeting a gravimetric energy density of 400 to 500 watt-hours per kilogram, which is a significant jump from the 250 to 300 we see in current lithium-ion EVs. The headline grabber is the sub-10-minute charge to 80%. This isn't a one-off. Chinese giants Geely and BYD are also targeting 2027 for their own pilot-scale deployments in high-end vehicles.
So, the technology is moving out of the lab. What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers, especially in the auto sector?
It means the competitive clock is ticking loudly. For years, solid-state was a post-2030 technology. Now, with a firm 2027 target from Asian competitors for initial models, Western automakers like BMW, who are also testing sales, must accelerate their own programs or risk falling behind in the premium EV segment, where these performance gains matter most.
And for trading companies and distributors who handle automotive parts and components?
They need to start mapping the new supply chain. These initial batteries will be vertically integrated, but the components are not. Look for partnerships forming around anode materials, cathode chemistries, and specifically the solid electrolytes. The winners will be those who establish sourcing relationships early, likely with specialists in Japan, South Korea, and the U.S.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives this week?
If you're in automotive or industrial manufacturing, you need to task your strategy teams with a 2027 solid-state scenario. What does your product roadmap look like if your chief competitor launches an EV with a 10-minute charge time? This is no longer a theoretical exercise.
That leads directly to the next big challenge, actually building these things. It's one thing to make a battery in a lab, but another to mass produce it. We saw a fascinating announcement from Honda.
Yes, Honda has established a demonstration line using a proprietary roll press technology. A key problem with solid-state batteries is ensuring perfect contact between the solid electrolyte and the solid electrodes. Microscopic gaps increase what's called interfacial resistance, which kills performance. Honda's technology physically compresses the battery layers to increase their density and improve that contact.
So it's a mechanical solution to a chemical problem. Is this the only approach?
No, and that's what's interesting. A paper in Science Advances just detailed a sulfide-based pouch cell that works with zero external pressure. That's a huge breakthrough, as high pressure complicates battery pack design and reduces the overall energy density of the pack. On another front, U.S. startup Factorio Energy is partnering with Korea's SK On to explore retrofitting existing lithium-ion gigafactories for solid-state production.
Retrofitting existing factories sounds much cheaper and faster than building new ones. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
It presents a massive opportunity. It suggests that the trillions invested in current battery manufacturing infrastructure might not become obsolete overnight. For U.S. and European firms with existing gigafactories, like Northvolt in Sweden, this capital-light approach could be a pathway to competing with Asian giants without starting from scratch. The threat is that companies like SK On and Factorio perfect this process first, creating a significant cost and speed advantage.
What should trading companies and distributors be watching here?
They should monitor the equipment and material suppliers involved in these new manufacturing processes. Who is providing Honda's roll presses? What specific materials are needed for zero-pressure cells? Who is engineering the retrofits for a factorial and SKON? These are the new high-value industrial goods that will need global distribution networks.
The actionable takeaway?
Executives should be evaluating manufacturing partnerships now. The race may be won by the company with the most pragmatic, scalable, and cost-effective production method, not necessarily the most exotic chemistry. Investigating joint ventures or licensing agreements with firms pioneering these new manufacturing techniques could be a critical strategic move.
Okay, so if automakers are the customers and manufacturing is the process, that leaves the materials. A whole new supply chain has to be built for the core component, the solid electrolyte.
Exactly. And this week, we saw that supply chain start to form in real time. U.S.-based Solid Power made a major announcement at the J.P. Morgan Automotive Conference. They are officially pivoting from an R&D-focused model to becoming a commercial supplier of sulfide solid electrolytes.
That's a significant shift. Are there numbers attached to this?
Yes, and they are specific. Solid Power is targeting production of 75 metric tons per year from its Colorado facility starting in Q1 2027. They're also planning a joint venture with a Korean conglomerate to supply up to 500 metric tons by 2028. This isn't just a U.S. phenomenon. In South Korea, a material developer named Solivis just raised $16 million and already has an annual production capacity of 36 tons.
So a new B2B market is being born. How does this impact U.S. and European manufacturers?
This is both an opportunity and a threat. The opportunity is a secure, domestic or allied source of a critical next-generation material. A U.S. manufacturer can now potentially source electrolytes from Solid Power in Colorado. The threat is capacity. 75 tons is a start, but it's not enough for the entire industry. If Asian automakers buy up this initial capacity, Western firms could be left waiting.
And for trading companies? This sounds like a new commodity to handle.
Precisely. They need to understand the logistics of handling these materials. Sulfide electrolytes, for instance, can be sensitive to air and moisture. This requires specialized packaging, handling, and quality control. Distributors who can build expertise in managing these new high-value chemical products will have a first-mover advantage.
Actionable insight for executives?
Start qualifying these new suppliers immediately. Send your engineering and procurement teams to evaluate Solid Power, Solivis, and others. The time to secure supply agreements for 2027 and 2028 is now, not 2 years from now when their order books are full.
This brings us to the geopolitical dimension, Troy. All this activity isn't happening in a vacuum. Governments are clearly making strategic moves.
They absolutely are. This week, China introduced the world's first national standard for automotive solid-state batteries. It includes a very strict requirement, a weight loss rate of less than 0.5% under vacuum drying, which is a proxy for moisture control and stability. This move aims to standardize quality and accelerate their domestic industry.
A national standard this early seems designed to create a market leader. How is the U.S. responding?
With significant public investment. On August 7th, the U.S. government committed over $2 billion to bolster the domestic battery supply chain. This includes a $1.4 billion Department of Defense loan to Sila Nanotechnologies for silicon anodes and a $20 million grant to Ion Storage Systems for their ceramic solid-state tech. And we just saw Anthro Energy break ground on a 25-gigawatt-hour electrolyte factory in Kentucky, backed by DOE funds, set to open in 2028.
So China is using standards, and the U.S. is using subsidies and direct investment to build a non-Chinese supply chain.
That's the core of it. And it's happening in Europe, too. The U.K. government is backing a £3.4 million project with Nissan and the University of Oxford on sulfur-based solid-state batteries. And a Japanese firm, MK Plus, just got a $12 million grant from the Swedish government to scale up production of vanadium solid-state batteries in Sweden.
For U.S. and European manufacturers, what's the bottom line here?
You must align your strategy with these national industrial policies. There is government money available, and there are clear strategic goals to onshore production and diversify away from China. Companies that can frame their projects as contributing to this national security and economic objective are far more likely to win grants, loans, and tax incentives.
What should trading companies be aware of?
Be aware of shifting trade rules and localization requirements. The U.S. Inflation Reduction Act is a perfect example. Sourcing components from domestic or allied suppliers like Anthro Energy or Solid Power may become a prerequisite for receiving EV tax credits. Distributors need to be experts in the geopolitics of the supply chain.
And the final actionable insight on this?
Engage with government agencies now. Whether it's the Department of Energy in the U.S., Innovate UK, or corresponding EU bodies, they are actively looking for industry partners to help build these new domestic supply chains. Don't wait to be invited.
Troy, an incredible amount of movement this week. Let's distill it down. What is the strategic summary for our listeners?
I see three key takeaways. First, the timeline is now firm. 2027 to 2028 is the consensus window for the initial commercial launch of solid-state batteries in premium vehicles. Full mass market adoption remains a post-2030 goal, but the starting gun for the premium segment has been fired.
Second,
manufacturing is the real battleground. The winners will be defined not just by their lab chemistry, but by their ability to produce these cells reliably and cost-effectively at scale. Executives should be placing their bets on manufacturing innovations like Honda's Roll Press or Factorial's Gigafactory retrofitting strategy.
And the final takeaway?
Third, a new B2B supply chain for solid electrolytes has been born. This is a ground floor opportunity. For manufacturers, it's a new sourcing challenge. For distributors, a new market. And for investors, it's a new class of industrial company to watch. The key action is to engage with these emerging material suppliers, like Solid Power in the U.S., immediately to secure future capacity.
A clear and urgent message. The future of mobility and energy storage is being built now, factory by factory and contract by contract. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing.
Thank you for joining us.
We hope this intelligence helps you stay ahead of the competition. For more strategic analysis, be sure to subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week.